Thank you, my brother, and we are so privileged to have such a good Bible reader here in our midst. You do well if you turn to the book of Joel. And as you know, we start back in March on the studies of each book of the Bible so that you will have a kind of a helpful handbook at the end of each of the Old and New Testament, so that if you have a question in your mind about something, you can look on it and then see which book of the Bible will address that issue. So if you have a question, you're studying science and you have a question about beginning, then you go to the book of Genesis. If you have a question about how to live a free life from worries and problems, you read the book of Exodus and so on. And how to have a wholesome life, a great relationship between husband and wife, between parents and children, you read the book of Leviticus, and you find all within the book all these marvelous indications. And you are entitled to request a copy of a CD or a copy of my written sermon so that you can have it with you. Always, I give you a background, because I know how we got so busy, we forgot how things got in this way in the Bible. Somebody asked me from Arkansas, asked me this question in an email. How did we get all of these, Israel and all of these things, how those things come up? And a person is a member and a deacon in the church, and I thank him for the honest question. And you see, we are Christians, and sometimes we don't read and treasure in our head what we need to know about the Lord. So let me, before we handle the book of Joel, which in the original is Yoel, and there are two translations of the name for that book. The Lord is good, said the American. The British will say Jehovah is God, in which is the real translation. Jehovah is God. The word Jehovah, the King James has translated for the word Lord in capital letters, so that you know that what the name is. Now, remember history in your mind and in your Bible, who start in Exodus 12. We have, if somebody asks you, you are no Catholic, but if somebody asks you that you are a Protestant, as they call, they said, who are your fathers in the faith? And we have three. We have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You remember that Jacob in Genesis 32 became Israel. And the nation start right there. And God gave them in Joshua 21:43, and in spite of all what doctrines people said, in Joshua 21:43 says that God gave Israel all the land. All the land. There is no one yacht of the land that was not given to Israel. So God, that's in all Israel land. I want people to know, they call me Calvinist for that statement, but that's no statement that Calvin did. He never made this statement, if you read Calvin. So that quote, making quotations wrong of myself. And never Calvin deal with that issue. He deal with other issues in the sovereignty of God, but not with the issue of Israel. So God gave everything. Also, God gave them a commandment, which is in Leviticus chapter 25, in a very simple business commandment. God said, you work 6 years as far as 12, 15 hours a day. You work 6 years. On the 7 year, you rest. Let the land, Israel was agriculture people. Most of the world at that time was agriculture people. So you rest. The other people work, but you rest. If somebody owe you money, doesn't owe you anymore. You start all over again on the year 8. Israel, after Joshua 21:43, lives in the land for 490 years. Never obey the year of rest of the Lord. Like some Christians do not obey Sunday. It's the day of the Lord. My wife was my girlfriend. She prayed for 7 years until I quit playing soccer on Sunday. Took me 7 years to understand. And I quit because she pressed me. we win the championship, and I brought the ball with all the signatures. And I said, this is for you. And she got the ball and threw it away. And now that's thousands of dollars on that ball with the signature of this famous man. And she says, the ball of me. And then I understood. I thank God for that. To respect that we never repented. That the day of the Lord for me was the day of the Lord. And I never, never get busy in anything else that in the day of the Lord. I recommend it to you and you will be blessed. And so Israel disobeyed, thinking, well, who cares? We're going to rest. The Lord, when the Lord says something and you disobey, he get back to you in judgment and discipline. And so 490 years divide 70. Divide 7 is 70. In 70 years, they cheat the Lord. How many Sundays do you cheat the Lord? 70 years they cheat the Lord. And so the Lord said, I'm going to give you 70 years of captivity. You're going to suffer. You're going to die. And you're going to know that when I say something and you are my child, you're going to obey it. Well, God is merciful. And so before he executed judgment, he sent then a prophet. As you remember, the nation of Israel prospered. And they saw other nations have, in the book of Judges, you can read that God was their president. It's called theocracy. God was their president. No, but we want a king. So God gave Saul, a good-looking Latin American king. It was good for nothing. And then they give him David, a man of war. And they give the beauty of the nation, Solomon. The girls will take a look to him and boom, boy, they all melted down. Solomon, he was very intelligent, very intelligent. He was a peacemaker, as his name proposed. Then he died, and then his son Rehoboam took over. And Rehoboam blew it. You know what he did? He raised the taxes. And so the nation divided in two. The southern kingdom even get help from Egypt and divided in two. And then you have now another name for Israel. You have 10 tribes that they call themselves Israel on the north, and Judah and Benjamin on the south. Now, God in mercy has sent them prophets. We study Isaiah. He was 80 years before the 490s, by the year 410. And then after Isaiah, Jeremiah, 30 years before the 490 and 30 years after. Jeremiah was allowed to stay in the land, remember? And see that God took brick by brick, nothing was there. When you disobey the Lord, he takes away everything. So that you have only one choice, to look for mercy. And then after Jeremiah came Ezekiel. Ezekiel was in the captivity. God in mercy always gave good preachers to the people. And Ezekiel talked to them in the captivity. Then Daniel, who was very sophisticated, and gave them a tying table. And then Hosea, who demonstrated to them the love of God. God disciplined, but loves you. He's never going to leave you. Once you are his child, you are forever his child. All right? That's beautiful. And we come now to the book of Joel. Hosea spoke to the north. The other prophets spoke to the south. And Joel speak to the south. Now, there is a philosophical understanding of life in this book that I understood. Now, listen carefully. The future of God's people is not captivity. The future of God's people, regardless what you do, the future of God's people is not captivity. God's people have a linear history. I remember when I studied in philosophy and they said, history repeats. I raised a hand and said, no, sir. He said, oh. History repeats. No, sir. No, sir. See, God's people have what is called in philosophy a lineal history. We have a beginning and we have an end. Let me show it to you. Genesis, put one hand in Joel. Genesis 1 and verse 1. Look at what the Bible said. Genesis chapter 1. If I have Genesis 1 in my Bible, here it is. I have so many stuff here. Genesis 1. It's here somewhere. All right. Here it is. Genesis chapter 1. Can you believe it? All right. Here it is. No, it's not here. All right, here. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, what happened? In the beginning, you got that word, Bereshit. There is a beginning. In the beginning, God created. That's it. That's what is important. Now, look at in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. That's the beginning. But God's people do not believe is a history repeats. God's people knows that history moves on until 2 Peter 3:10. All right? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. So God's people know that there is a beginning and there is an end of this world. Now, the Bible doesn't tell you the date of the end, but there is a beginning and there is an end. And so our history moves. God's people have what in Greek is called eschatology. We have an end. This world has an end. They will not continue like this. It's going to come to an end. And that's now you can move your Bible to the book of Joel, and I'm going to show you in a few verses. That's what Joel is talking about, and we're going to see it in a minute. Look at it in Joel chapter 1, please, and in verse 15. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. You see that? He's talking to the tribe of Judah few years before captivity, and said, you're going to go in captivity, and I'm going to show you the judgment of God, what he's going to do. This is going to happen, but this is not the end, because there is a day where the Lord is going to save you. Look in chapter 2 and in verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the delay of the Lord is coming. In other words, you are in a trial condition. You are suffering for something, but that's not the end of your life. God said there is a victory for the believer. Look again in chapter 3 and in verse 19, please. Chapter 3 and in verse 19. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, because of violence against the people of Judah, for they have seen innocent blood in the land. In other words, God is going to eliminate all the obstacles, and is going to bring marvelous things. Look in verse 20. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. Now, take a look, people, to language. Be lawyers when you read the Bible. Judah shall abide forever. Those people who accuse me of Calvinism, as I talked to a gentleman yesterday, he told me what the town think of me. And then they accuse me of Calvinism. They don't read the Bible well. Judah shall abide forever. We're not talking about eternity. There is a chapter in the Bible that talks about Judah forever. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. Judah will be forever. So we in this church, we are not doctrinal minded. We are Bible minded. And we're going to tell you what the Bible say and know what doctrines say, all right? So again, it is good to know sometimes what other people are thinking of us in the wrong way. In case they are listening, they know. All right. Now, the book of Joel talks about one thing. The day of the Lord is coming. Whatever happened, you lost your job, you lost your house, you lost everything. The day of the Lord is coming. See, the Bible wants one thing for us to do, not to focus here, but to focus there up. And sometimes it will be good that all of you take a trip to Mexico, or a trip to Taipei, or a trip to a nation in the Asian world, and see how those people live with $300 a year salary. Or in Mexico, with $1,350 a year salary. And see their faces, how happy they are, and how they work and so on, and they think that they have jobs and so on. They live a different way you do. They've 7-8 families together in one house and so on, but they are very happy. That's the way it is. That's the way life is. We in America, we got so used to the things of this world that then we become angry. Something is lost. All right. We're going to work in the book of Joel for good. And it's going to be a great thing. Now, look in chapter 1. And now we're in the book of Joel, and we're going to work on it. chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. What is the first word in verse 2? Hear this. And again, you should use the King James Bible or the New King James Bible. Any other Bible is an atrophy, what they do with the book of Joel. But these two Bibles have hold to the original. Hear this. Now, let me ponder on the word hear. If you talk to somebody here, my wife sometimes talking to me, I'm doing something, and my wife talked to me, and we are married, 51, going to be 52 years. And you know, her husband said, oh, yeah, I hear you, but you keep on doing your own thing. That's bad for new couples to tell them, but it's that's what we do. And then my wife said silently in a little loud voice, do you hear me? Then I know that I had to hear, all right? All right, here is the expression. Now, you don't have to look there, but in Ephesians 6 and in verse 1, this word shama of the Hebrew language is translated to the word apokuo, and over there it's translated correctly. It says, children, obey your parents. Apokuo. The word is not obey. The word is you listen and don't do what you want. No, don't do what you want. Just do what you are told. We have an English word for that, obey, which is translated in the King James Bible. Children, obey your parents. So he said, Israel, now elders of Israel, obey. And now let's read it. Joel chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Hear these, you elders, hear and be ready to obey. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days? Or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. And so I ask myself as I read it, I'm going to be very simple today. As I read it, I ask myself, what is Joel talking about? What is he talking about? Well, if you read verse 2 and 3, and then you move to verse 15 that we read already, then that's what he's talking about. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. The day of the Lord is at hand. I have the privilege to grow up with my grandma. I had the privilege to grow up with a grandmother who has a different faith at the beginning, Muslim, and who became a believer in God. And as we opened that windows of the patio at 6 and 5 years old, she would look to a wall and she will say, because, in Buenos Aires, the houses were all together. And she will say to the wall, perhaps today. And I thought the grandma lose it, you know. They're 4 or 5 years old and your grandmother is looking to a wall and said, perhaps today. And I said, oh, grandma, she is really off. But she was not off, don't we? We Christians, what happened in 1941, 42, 43, 44, we Americans have the day. And we Christians have the day. And the D-Day is when the Lord is coming. The D-Day is not a new president in the United States. The D-Day is not a new Congress in the United States. The D-Day is the day of the Lord. Let me show it to you. Let's go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. It's just so beautiful and so wonderful. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Look what the Bible said. They're talking about in heaven. And look at what the conversation is. And John is there. And the revelation came to him. Revelation 4 verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Now listen carefully. Who was, and is, and what? And is to come. See, what Joel is talking about in chapter 1 is there will be a time of tribulation. There will be a time of distress. But hold it. The Lord is coming. And so he switched the focus from our resources to God's resources. Joel switched our hope from what we can do to what he can do. And that is wonderful. And that is wonderful. Now, what is the alternative? Now go back to the book of Joel, chapter 1. And between this promise that they go into captivity in the land of Assyria and the coming of the Lord, what's going on? What's the idea? What is the symptom that I see in the world that there will be, I know the Lord is close. Here it is, verse 4. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. Have you seen locusts eating on the fields? They make a little noise. And when they take it off, all is gone. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. In other words, there will be a time of real nothing in the world. There will be chaos. There will be something that is amazing. Look at verse 5. Awake, you drunkards and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. There will be a time of depression, a time of tribulation, a time economical in which there will be such a chaos in the land of Assyria that then a new king will come in and will deliver Israel out of there. And so what is telling me here is that there will be a time before that day of the Lord, there will be a time, an absolute depression of food in the entire world, depression of wants in the world. Everything is going to be consumed and turned apart, and I know how the Americans will cry because they are used to have a lot. If you don't have anything, you don't have nothing to lose. But if you have a lot of things, you cry for. All right, what we supposed to do? All right? Chapter 1, verse 14. Consecrate the fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house, into the White House. No, look at this. Into the house of the Lord. The word of the Lord is the word Jehovah. Into the house of Jehovah, your God. And what we're supposed to do in the house of God. Look at the end of the sentence. The word cry is to speak, to pray, and pray to the Lord. That's what we have Wednesday night. Somebody told me yesterday, it was the greatest conversation I ever had with somebody. I never expected in a shower. I have one of the most enjoyable times for an hour and a half. And this person told me, we are the only person, the only church has a prayer meeting open in the city of Morton Hill. Their church has done a study, what church preaches the gospel, what church do this, what church do the other. And we are the one. And he told me, I talked to my pastor, and he said, talk to your pastor and tell him to come and see how can we have a prayer meeting. It's very simple. You open the door and tell people to come. They will not come. They will not come. I preach in a church in San Diego, 3,000 people. I asked the pastor, if I say tomorrow we have a prayer meeting at 7, how many? Zero, he said. I said, pastor, you think a church is doing good? Because the offering is up to level and the people are here. Here's what it is. Listen, we saw, doesn't matter who is the president, doesn't matter what political party is in power. The key is these God's people need to think you are the clue to the success of this world. And we are like Israel, abandoning the ship. Why? Because we do not come to prayer meeting. There is one thing for me, the Isaiah blast. When I became a believer, I thought, why the people are not in church every day? And so I never miss a prayer meeting. I studied the whole night if I needed. How many nights I spent studying? So I learned to sleep 2 hours, 3 hours, and I keep on going, rolling and rolling and rolling. I really believe that America will be different if the churches, not only this church, but the churches of America will say, we will pray. That's what God said. What we're supposed to do? We're supposed to pray together. In the house of God, I read it again, verse 14, because not just, I know you pray in your home. I know that. I have no doubt. I know you pray everywhere. But God wants you in the house of God. Look at here. And all the inhabitants of the land, into the house of the Lord your God and cry to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. We have prayed for you people sick here, and we saw God's mercy on you and heal. We have that in our church. And I wish all the churches around will do the same. When I meet the pastor, I said, do you have prayer meeting? No, why? Oh, the people are very busy. The man who was talking to me said, we are so busy that I came to senses that I need to stop, he said, and go to your church and pray. I need it. And my friend, I know we all get busy. I know you study. You got super busy and so on. But I learned to study the whole night. I never took pills for no sleeping. I was just so excited that, you know, the next day I had to play soccer. So who cares? I studied the whole night. And I went over there and I played. And, you know, the enthusiasm. You walk in the stadium and the people say hi. And then you feel you're good. You know? Only thing, when I went to see my girlfriend, they said, oh, no, that's nothing, he said. What we're supposed to do, we're supposed to pray. Now, how is all of this is going to take place? Let's go to chapter 2. How is it going to take place? He said in chapter 2, verse 1, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. We should tell the people the Lord is coming. Not the day, the date. The Lord is coming such and such a day. No. That's not what I'm not talking about. We should tell the people the Lord is coming. Oh, we got problems in America. This is the president. The people tell me, oh, why? We're going to be in trouble. No, we are not in trouble. The Lord is coming. Oh, you know, the Congress in this way and the Congress in the other. And Hamas is doing this and the other guy is doing this. The Lord is coming. I was able to come when I came this morning here to the church and to fix the church so you can have a warm church and a coffee. I turned the radio and there is a question and answer. And the guy, I guess, is a theologian or something. And he's saying, now Hamas is doing this and the other is doing that. And I said, I called it. And I said, sir, you ever have a family who's Muslim? No, they're loving people. They have wrong leaders, but they're loving people. But the Lord is coming. You don't tell the people. The Lord is coming. Now I'm telling the people of KGO, the Lord is coming. And he can handle. The Lord is coming. How is it going to play? The Lord is coming. Verse 2. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Let the morning clouds spread over the mountain. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been. Now will there be any such after them, even for the many successive generations. What the Bible is talking about here is Assyria. Assyria is going to come and take you over. You never saw an army like the Assyrians. You never saw the power of the Assyrians. It is going to be absolute chaos. Look at verse 4. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses and like sheep steeds. So they run. In other words, these are an army trained to win. This is an army trained to win. Now look with me. Put one hand here and go to Matthew 24. And look at what the Bible said. Matthew 24 in verse 29. This is happened there in Assyria. But now look at here. Matthew 24, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, after the problems of the economical problems of the world, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give it its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will shake. In other words, God is preparing the whole scenario. Is going to be an absolute destruction. Look in verse 20, chapter 29. Chapter 24 in verse 21, please. Look at what the Bible said there. Chapter 24 in verse 21, if I can open my Bible. Here it is. Chapter 24 in verse 21. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No ever shall be. In other words, there will be a great tribulation. That's the scenario they were waiting for. Not a new president. No, this. I'm just waiting for that chaos of the world to flourish because I know the end. The Lord is coming. Now, what happened to the end? In Joel chapter 2 and in verse 10, the Bible said, the earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. And then remember, we read Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give it its light, and the star will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven will be darkened. In other words, it's going to come to an end. It is not economical, the problem in the world is sin. The rejection of the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now, what we supposed to do? Let's go to Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. Look at what Joel said to those people. The Assyrians are coming. This is what you're supposed to do. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now, therefore, saith the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fastings, with weeping, and with mourning. God's people, don't keep on doing what you're doing. Turn to the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord. Give your resources to the Lord. Give your time to the Lord. We are so busy in America. I counted 382 times. I heard it yesterday. I was having a clock. I counted 382. I'm so busy. People of the Lord, come on. Turn. Change, please. Let the prayer meetings be full like this morning. Let the offerings of this church roll escape the heavens so that you give for the furtherance of the gospel. Amazing. Verse 13. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, is slow to anger and of a great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Return to the Lord. Verse 14. Who knows if he will turn the relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. You turn to the Lord and you never know what the Lord is going to do for you. Don't worry about results. Just turn to the Lord. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 8, please. Book of Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Look at what the Bible said. God have this promise for you and for me. Hebrews 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deed. What the Lord want to do? I will remember no more. Now, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. I saw yesterday, and I received the Italian magazine. I received newspapers from different nations so I can keep my language. I learned that, and now I got the Seoul Korean. Very hard because it's all together. I learned one word here and there. But I received the Italian, and the Italians are crazy in love with a Maserati. Oh, you have to see that Maserati. I mean, the little muah, my mother used to say. I mean, if you want a car that you sit and you feel like it, you are taken to heaven, you sit in that Maserati. Quattro porte. $225,000. We say, wow, I saw one in my neighborhood. I want to jump from my old Lincoln and take it over. It's just amazing. And people live for that. They maybe pay $4,000 or $5,000 a month lease, but they sit in that Maserati. Can you imagine when you sit in the Maserati that God's going to bring from heaven? It's just beautiful. He said, I will remember your sins no more. You know, that great? We all have mistakes. That's why people say, oh, you don't do that. I never judge you, because before I judge you, I judge myself. I know we all have shortcomings, but when we see him, there will be no shortcomings. There will be the perfection, and Angela is in perfection sitting with God. Wow. I tell you, this is spectacular. This is marvelous. Now, what's the end of all of this? Joel chapter 2, please, in verse 21-28. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Joel 2:22. Do not be afraid, your beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up, and the tree bear it is fruit. The fig tree and the wine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully. That's Old Testament. And he will cause the rain to come. That's New Testament. For you, for the former rain. The former rain is the Old Testament. The new rain is the New Testament. Verse 24, the threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and vats shall overflow with the wine. So I will restore, verse 25, to you the years that swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, and the great army which sends among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. And it shall come to pass, verse 28, after that I will pour out my spirit in all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. You know, this was fulfilled. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. This was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, in verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divers tongues and as of fire. And as one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Other tongues means other languages. And they spoke 9 languages without learning. Are you like that? I love languages. Can you imagine? I said, Lord, give me Korean. And then I speak Korean. That's what happened. Now, some people thought these people might be drunk. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. Look what they said. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk. These people who speak your language are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. So at 6 o'clock is the first hour of the day. You saw my watch in my office from Israel. First hour is 6 a.m. Third hour is 9 a.m. All right. This is 9 a.m. All right. You hear the word. For these are not drunks, he said. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet, what? Joel. So the prophecy of Joel partially was fulfilled on day one when the Lord Jesus went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. The only thing to fulfill of the prophecy is the coming of the Messiah. And so, what is the end of all of this? Chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. Look at this. But you deny the Holy One and the just and ask for murder to be granted to you and kill the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Excuse me, I'm the wrong pages. Chapter 3, and verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near. Where? In the valley of decision. You know what the valley of decision is today? That's today. The valley of decision. Multitude in the valley of decision. This is the promise of God. This is what God is going to do. This is what God is going to protect his people. Now we are in the valley of decision. What are you going to do with the Lord? Are you going to obey him? Are you going to yield him as a Christian? Are you going to surrender to him? Regardless if you are young, tall, whatever, and you said, God is first and me and my house and everything. Will be good when you get married, you make a promise to each other, like we did with Raquel. We will not drink wine, no alcohol. We did a promise to each other. I don't mean you have to do that promise, but it will be good, Tricia and Miguel, that you do a promise to each other. We will do this. And 50 years later, when you fulfill that promise, you feel like a giant and you can kiss her 2 or 3 times and she says, oh, I like it. You know, it is good. There is no greater joy, not your car, not your house, not your carpet, not your curtains. The Lord is the best. Our body is going away. The other day I was running and I have left pain. And somebody said, you know, you are running and you limp one side. Well, I said, I don't know what happened. I'm 51 and I don't know what happened. And they all believe I'm 51 because I run with them. I swim over there in Mexico with the 51 team. And they are tired, and I'm not tired. But I all there. Rather than sleeping 2 hours, now I sleep 6. And it's very bad. I want to sleep 2 hours, but if I sleep 2 hours, I'm a little knockout. We are going to be gone. We are going to be gone. What is the value? Angela in the full strength of her life, a lawyer with companies working everywhere, now it's gone. But she have the Lord. Can we spend Bethel Baptist Church? Can we spend from now on time and time and being faithful? Work on yourself. I'm not a pastor to say you're doing this wrong. I'm not that kind of pastor. I'm a pastor that holds you and loves you and cares for you and cry with you. And if you are in a struggle to obey the Lord or to do this, I understand. I have been in a struggle like that. But you know, here we have a church, small, like a family. If you miss church, I miss you. Because we are a family. And I will let you know. If you have a need, I give you anything I have for your need. Because, see, we are a family. I'm your great-grandpapa. They want to tell you, the greatest things in Raquel's life and in my life is the Lord. Oh, we have houses, we have rings, we have these, we have the other. Nothing. The Lord. You know, some people like this and like the other. The Lord. The Lord. We are in the valley of decision. You have to make a decision. What is more important for me? My school of the Lord. What is more important to me? My profession of the Lord. What is more important to me? My money of the Lord. We are in the valley of decision. May God help you to overcome that decision. Our Father, we thank you for giving us this picture of life. And for invisibly guiding the affairs of men and the destinies both of nations and individuals. Grant to us, young and old alike, the wisdom to listen to you and to turn back from going our own way. Help us to yield our hands and hearts and lives to the end who to the one who loves us, who has given himself for us, and who has preparing us for a future so unbelievable, wonderful, that it takes our breath away. Lord, each time I read Revelation 21 and 22, I cry. I say, how stupid is Gabriel Otero not to have that read every day, so that I never look down but look up. Oh, help us, oh God, and we thank you for what you're going to do with us. In the Lord Jesus, amen.